The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into it with one of the 20th century's most defining and frankly terrifying figures, Joseph Stalin.
And we're doing that through Robert Service's big biography, Stalin, a biography. It's quite the volume.
It really is. And this deep dive, it feels necessary, doesn't it? Understanding Stalin isn't just about listing atrocities.
Not at all. Service pushes us past that simple, you know, evil dictator image. He wants us to see Stalin as this cold, calculating strategist, deeply driven by his version of ideology.
So our mission here is to try and understand not just what he did, the horrors, but why, from his perspective, his methods were seen as, well, the logical way to achieve the Bolshevik Revolution's goals.
Exactly. Why did he rationalize it all?
And why does this still matter? I mean, studying Stalin, it's like looking at the playbook for authoritarianism, isn't it?
Absolutely. It shows what happens when someone's personal psychology, their paranoia, their grudges gets mixed with absolute state power.
It just scales up into something devastating, systemic.
Right. And it forces us to ask that core question. Service tackles. How does this guy, Yosef Tsugishvili, a seminary dropout from Georgia, how does he end up the absolute ruler of this massive superpower?
While orchestrating millions of deaths and, at the same time, overseeing this huge industrial push, it's a paradox.
It involves cunning, immense cruelty, and surprisingly, a mastery of bureaucracy. Paperwork, essentially.
Okay, let's talk about Robert Service himself. He wrote the book. What makes him the go-to guy on Stalin?
Well, Service is definitely a heavyweight. Professor at Oxford, senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institution. He's got the academic credentials.
That's more than that, right?
Oh, yeah. The foundation is serious scholarship. He's fluent in Russian. And crucially, he got access to those Soviet archives that opened up, you know, back in the 90s.
So this isn't based on old Cold War stories or guesswork?
Not at all. It's grounded in internal party documents, even Stalin's own letters, with his notes scribbled on them. Real primary sources.
And I think what gives him such amazing context is his other work. He didn't just write about Stalin.
Right. He did the whole trilogy, Lenin, Trotsky, and then Stalin. That's huge.
That context must be invaluable.
It lets him trace the sort of ideological DNA, how Lenin's ideas and tools, the authoritarian ones, were maybe twisted or maybe just taken to their most extreme logical conclusion by Stalin.
So he avoids that narrative that Stalin was just some kind of historical accident, a complete break from Lenin.
Exactly. Service combines that deep archive work with psychological insights. He tried to give us the full picture of the man and the system he built.
Okay, so let's unpack the book's main idea. Service argues Stalin wasn't just some, you know, uneducated thug who stole the revolution. That's a common take. But Service says what?
Service's core argument is that Stalin was way more complex. He argues Stalin was genuinely an intellectually engaged Marxist-Leninist. He believed in the need for a socialist superpower.
But there's always a but with Stalin.
Right. But his brutality wasn't just random violence. It flowed, according to Service, directly from his very specific, hardened, paranoid reading of Leninism, combined with, let's be honest, a massive lust for personal power.
So he wasn't so much betraying the revolution in his own mind as redefining it to fit his own absolute control.
Pretty much. He was rewriting the theory on the fly to justify his actions, his dominance.
That's a critical distinction. It implies things like the terror weren't just madness, but had a kind of horrible strategic logic behind them.
Within his framework, yes. And the book's scope is just vast. It covers his whole life, basically. Mm-hmm. 1878 birth in Georgia.
Right up to his death in 1953.
Exactly. And it covers everything. The forced collectivization, those man-made famines.
The Holodomor in Ukraine, especially.
Yes. Then the mechanics of the Great Terror, his leadership in World War II, which was complicated, to say the least.
And then those final paranoid years leading into the Cold War.
So the book tries to do two things. Paint this really intimate picture of the dictator, the guy micromanaging death warrants, and analyze the whole system of totalitarianism he perfected.
Okay, let's walk through that timeline a bit. Starting with his early years, the making of the revolutionary Coba. It sounds like resentment was a big driver early on.
Oh, definitely. A difficult childhood, an abusive father who drank heavily. His mother, very religious, sent him to seminary. Big mistake.
How so?
Well, the oppressive atmosphere there, the hierarchy, it just fueled his hatred of authority. Ironically, it taught him how to organize secretly, how to conspire.
And that's where he becomes Coba.
Yeah, the hardened underground figure. good at conspiracy, and yes, organizing bank robberies to get funds for the Bolsheviks.
It's still kind of amazing that this guy, this revolutionary outlaw, ends up running the whole show. But the key wasn't charisma, was it? He didn't have Trotsky's flair.
Not at all. And this is a central point in Service's analysis. The key was getting appointed general secretary in 1922. It sounded like a dull bureaucratic job.
Just admin, right? Filing papers, sending letters.
That's how rivals like Trotsky saw it, and they dismissed it. Stalin saw it differently. He realized it was the party's central nervous system.
How so?
Controlling appointments, even minor ones, all across the country. Controlling who got favors, who got information. He quietly built this huge web of people who owed him.
So when Lenin died, Stalin was already positioned. He could pull off a kind of bureaucratic coup while framing it as an ideological fight.
Masterfully done, in a terrible way. He picked off every rival, Kamenev, Zinoviev, Bukharin, eventually Trotsky, by painting his policy, socialism in one country, as the only practical way forward.
Making them look like out-of-touch dreamers.
Exactly. And once he had that bureaucratic machine locked down, he used it to launch his revolution from above.
Which meant?
Radical, forced collectivization of farms, taking land and grain from peasants by force, and rapid, often brutal, industrialization.
Leading directly to those horrific famines, Servis argues they weren't accidental, right?
No, particularly the Holodomor in Ukraine. Service presents evidence it was deliberately engineered, using starvation as a weapon to crush peasant resistance.
Just chilling. And that brings us to maybe the most infamous period, the Great Terror, 36 to 38. How does Service use those archives to show Stalin's personal hand in it?
The evidence is just undeniable now. Service shows Stalin wasn't just signing off on general policies. He was deep in the detail.
Like actually reading the list.
Reading lists. Personally signing thousands upon thousands of death warrants. Sometimes adding nasty little comments in the margins. It wasn't delegated. It was driven from the very top by him.
You mentioned earlier this idea of it being a rational strategy within its monstrous logic. That's tough to wrap your head around.
It is. But Service argues that while Stalin's paranoia fueled the scale of it, wanting to eliminate anyone who might oppose him, it was also seen as strategically necessary.
Necessary for what?
To wipe out the old Bolsheviks, anyone who remembered the party before him, to create a new elite, totally loyal, totally terrified, to secure his absolute, unquestioned authority. It was a monstrous way to achieve his political goal.
So from terrorizing his own people, we shift to the world stage. World War II. It starts with that cynical deal with Hitler, the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact.
Yeah, buying time, he thought. But then comes this colossal blunder. Ignoring all the warnings about Hitler's invasion plan, Operation Barbarossa, in 1941.
He just didn't believe it.
Seemingly not, or didn't want to. Service describes how Stalin almost completely fell apart in those first few weeks. He fled Moscow, was basically paralyzed.
But he recovered.
He did. And he transformed himself into this absolutely ruthless warlord.
Yeah.
Using ferocious discipline, remember order number 227, not a step back. Shoot your own soldiers if they retreat.
Brutal. And he also started appealing to Russian nationalism, didn't he? Bringing back old heroes, even easing up on the church.
Totally cynical, but effective. Anything for victory. But after the war, that paranoia didn't go away. It actually got worse in his final years.
More isolated.
Increasingly so. And this leads to that final bizarre episode. The anti-Semitic doctors plot in 52-53.
Total fabricated, right? Accusing Jewish doctors of trying to poison the leadership.
Completely. It was clearly the prelude to another massive purge targeting Jewish figures and probably widening out. It was only stopped because he had a stroke and died in March 1953.
Just incredible timing in a way.
Okay, that's the staggering story. Let's try to pull out the main themes Service wants us to grasp about Stalin's rule.
Right. The first big one is that mix of ideological conviction and practical cynicism. Remember, Service insists Stalin was a believer, in his way.
In the socialist superpower idea.
Yes. But he twisted Marxist ideas relentlessly. He'd rewrite history, rewrite theory, whatever it took to justify the purges, the power grabs, his personal vendettas.
Makes you think, doesn't it? How often we see grand ideals used today to cover up purely self-serving motives. In politics, in business, all the time. Okay, second key theme, continuity from Lenin to Stalin. This is crucial for Service. Stalinism wasn't some alien thing that appeared out of nowhere.
It built on what was already there.
Exactly. Lenin had already set up the tools. The one-party state, the secret police, the Cheka, suppressing dissent. The basic structures lacked checks and balances from the start.
So if the foundations are weak, the next guy can build something truly monstrous on top.
Precisely, which connects to the third theme, the fusion of personal psychology and political power. Stalin's own personality flaws, his deep paranoia, his vindictiveness didn't just stay personal.
They became state policy.
They got institutionalized, scaled up to impact millions of lives, millions of deaths. It really underscores how critical a leader's psychological makeup is when they have that kind of ultimate power.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, let's circle back to that bureaucratic point, the master of bureaucratic power.
Right. Service shows Stalin's real, maybe unique, genius wasn't giving great speeches. It was mastering the admin, the boring stuff.
The general secretary job again.
Yeah. Realizing that controlling appointments, information flow, the files, that's where the real quiet power lay. Not necessarily charisma.
It's a powerful reminder that power often hides in plain sight, in the administrative details. Who controls the budget? Who controls HR? That person might have more real clout than the figurehead.
Definitely something to think about in any organization you're part of.
Okay, so that's the analysis. But sometimes the person's own words just cut right through. Let's touch on a few quote service highlights that really capture Stalin's worldview.
They're chillingly concise. First one shows that terrifying reductionism, just seeing people as obstacles. Death solves all problems. No man, no problem.
It's just stark. Dehumanizing. Then there's the one about controlling minds, not just bodies. The writer is the engineer of the human soul.
Yeah, that reveals the truly totalitarian ambition, doesn't it? He believed you could and should mold consciousness itself. Culture wasn't separate from the state. It was another tool.
Like propaganda, but deeper.
Exactly. And finally, that famously dismissive remark about moral power versus military power. The Pope. How many divisions has he got?
A classic. Pure realpolitik, right? Only force matters. Moral authority, spiritual influence, totally irrelevant in his calculation.
Purely materialist. If you can't put it on the battlefield, it doesn't count.
So bringing this all together for listeners today, what are the practical takeaways? How can understanding services Stalin help us now?
Well, first, it gives you a framework for understanding authoritarian leadership. You can spot the pattern service identifies, that gradual power grab, silencing internal critics first, using noble language for selfish ends. You can use that to look critically at political situations now.
It's like a warning checklist.
Sort of. Second, it's just a stark lesson in damages, recognizing the danger of unchecked power. Service meticulously documents how the absence of checks, balances, a free press, how that allows one person's deep flaws to wreck an entire society. It's a historical alarm bell.
We need those guardrails.
Desperately. And third, it's a lesson in historical critical thinking. Look at how service works, separating the propaganda from the hard evidence in the archives, always thinking about the ideological context.
So don't just demonize or lionize complex figures. Dig deeper.
Exactly. Avoid those easy, simple narratives. Right. Try to understand the context, even when the actions are horrific.
For me, the detail that really stuck out was about Stalin the reader. We often picture him as this, I don't know, uneducated brute.
But service shows that's wrong.
Totally. He was apparently a voracious reader, had something like 20,000 books in his personal library, heavily annotated. He was deeply involved in ideological debates, micromanaging the narrative.
That intellectual engagement, however twisted, was key to his control. He outmaneuvered more brilliant rivals by controlling the story, the ideology.
It wasn't just brute force. It was controlling the ideas.
Yeah. And I think the final thought service leaves us with, the big takeaway, is that regimes like Stalin's don't just happen by accident. They arise from this toxic mix.
Yeah.
One individual's pathology, yes, and also an ideology that allows it. And crucially, weak institutions that can't stop it.
So the real lesson isn't just about Stalin the man.
No.
Crap.
It's that democratic institutions, the checks, the balances, the free debate, they aren't guaranteed. They need constant active defense. Because the conditions that allow a Stalin to rise are always potentially there if we let our guard down.
A sobering but vital thought to end on. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world.
This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.